You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5. 106.5.
All right. Where we carrying it this evening is the question. This is Richard Solomon on the Insight Hub, folks. Welcome. It's Wednesday. Remember, we're here every Wednesday, 6 to 7. And I have special guests, but I'm going to talk about them in a little bit. It's carnival season. And, you know, I am not what you would call a carnival person. But I'm an observer of our nation, and I'm an observer, and I would like to think I'm a keen observer of this place called Trinidad and Tobago and how we behave. As I started with this song, Carry It, because when I listened to that song, what Bungie Garland for me is saying, there was a time when the popularity and the energy and so on of the music was carried by the people. Not necessarily by the money, not necessarily by the commerce, not necessarily by the structures that seem to move things these days, but he's hearkening back to a time when the people used to carry it, and he called a long list of places, including Arima and Kunupe and all kinds of places like that. Yeah? And I use that because I think we as a nation, there are some things that have happened and that continue to happen. You know, before there was this buzz around tribes marketing stunt. That's how I want to call it, right? Before there was this buzz, I named this segment Carnival, Cambule, and Culture Vultures. And then this buzz came up and I was like, well, you can't write it any better than this, right? So this evening, that's what we want to talk about. We want to talk about Carnival, but from a historical perspective, because the truth is, and I suspect all the listeners would know, that Carnival has a lot more to do, or has a lot more in it, in its history, than simply beads and feathers and imported costumes from faraway places and so on. There's far deeper meaning, and we want to explore that this evening here. I have two guests joining me online. They're not in studio with me, but that's okay. Joining me online, and we're going to ask the audience as well, listening audience, to come in and join us at some point in time on the phone line 625-2257, 627-3223, and of course, you know, you can WhatsApp on 306-1065. But I have two guests. I'm going to allow them to introduce themselves. So if we could unmute the microphone, the link where they are coming in, and let me start with Anika. Anika, can you introduce yourself quickly, please?
Hi, thank you for having me. My name is Anika Danclair George. By profession, I'm an architect and a designer. Yeah. And I have an interest, like you, in culture and carnival, especially having grown up in an environment where I was fully immersed in carnival and, you know, trying to be in place and experience the thing in an immersive way, and eventually stepped away from it, and now taking an observer status like yourself, and observing, you know, the trajectory of carnival culture from the beginning to where we are now. And basically, that's where I am at the moment.
What Anika did not say is she also coined herself a social observer. Never really thought of the term before, but I am that too. You know, I am that too. Victor, can you do the same? Just quickly introduce yourself.
Hi, Rubidiri Victor, multimedia artist, cultural activist, president of the Artists Coalition of Trinidad and Tobago.
Right.
I'm a Trinidadian, you know, in love with us and what we could be. And who we are in essence.
Yeah.
And we seem to be moving further and further from.
Right, right. And that's an excellent jumping off point, because where I'd like for us to start in this discussion is, what is the state of the carnival now, and why do you think we are here? Anika, you want to take that first?
Okay, well, I think the state of our carnival is that every single year, the way I see it, every single year, a new nail is going into a coffin.
Right.
That's the way I see it. And it, that was part of the reason why I removed myself from it.
Mm.
And the reason why that has happened, I think it's because the trajectory of mass from spectacle and theater and an individual embodying a character and portraying that character on the road and becoming something magical and beautiful and festive and all those things has now been more or less co-opted by a business model that has taken that element away from it and mm-hmm. has nicely and neatly packaged it into a tourist product, for want of a better term, an all-inclusive tourist product that mm-hmm. could be easily replicated, which has been happening. And it has taken away the soul of the festival, I believe. And now we have something that is no longer the same. It's driven by commerce. It's driven by money.
Right.
And this issue with the rose is just, for me, another step in that direction. I wasn't even upset with right. the fact that it happened. I was like, well, okay. Yeah, okay. This is just another part of what, you know, has been happening.
Mm-hmm. Rubadi, same question, and tell me if I'm getting your name correct. Same question. Where are we and why are we here?
I want to say that I'm on Fisher Avenue in St. Anne's
mm-hmm.
at Jackie Hingston's mural exhibition, which is really what Trinidad and Tobago Carnival is all about. Let me just show you quickly.
Well, we can't see you. We're on radio, but the operator can see you.
Right. There's an entire road
right.
filled with murals that are old mass murals.
Where is this?
Right, so it's... This is on Fisher Avenue in St. Anne's.
Right.
Both sides of the road going right up one block wrapped around the block. And it's images of traditional mass characters
right.
portraying topical issues like old mass. So there's an image right opposite me with Donald Trump walking with coal ice. with a barrel of coal ice with
right.
Epstein files in his pockets.
Right, right, right.
And, you know, with his flag on his shoulder and hawking ice on the street whilst parachuters and stuff drop in.
Right.
And Venezuelan flags and... all right.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Dad's saying, like, this is kind of what Carnival is, but it's the people who should come down and take it in before it comes down.
And that's open to the public. Before you go, that's open to the public. People can just come and have a look.
Yeah, it's open to the public 24/7, 365.
All right. So that's on Fisher Avenue in St. Anne's.
Right.
Okay. Very good.
Yeah. Before mm-hmm. before you reach the mental institution.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
So I'll say there've been two cultures that have been inside the carnival from the time of emancipation
mm-hmm.
to the present, right? There's a Kambule, which is the African-led festival, which is derived from ancestral masquerade. So all the traditional masquerades and the kind of imaginative, surreal, the satirical thing, and then the musical, traditional pulse and stuff, and all the things of the stick fighting and all of those other kinds of
right.
traditions, which are ancestral, ancestor masquerade traditions and stuff built into the carnival.
Right.
And so, you know, so that's from 1,000 years old sacred and secular masquerade traditions and music traditions and stuff that survive and retained and are present. And it's also part of agricultural fertility, right, and changing of the year, changing of the crops, cycle rituals.
Uh-huh.
And then there's the European Mardi Gras, which came from the great houses and the grand balls of Europe, especially as done by French, especially at the time of Louis XVI, of that time of the excess and debauchery of France, is led by alcohol and by kind of drunken excess. It is a fertility festival, in the same way, but it's led by those things, and it also has masquerade precedents and those kinds of things,
uh-huh.
but it's an exclusive thing. It's elite. It's exclusive. It has all of those things of that kind of hegemony built into it. That's where it's come from.
Right.
Those two cultures have been battling ever since Emancipation Day, for supremacy on the streets of Trinidad and Tobago Carnival. Those things, of course, blew up in the late 1800s with the Camberley riots,
right,
which are enacted on Carnival Thursday.
And this is on the Greens. This is on the Greens, is it?
It's in Piccadilly, yeah.
Piccadilly Greens at
in the morning.
It's Thursday morning.
Friday morning.
Friday morning at 4, I think it is. Yes, people should come down and see that. Well, Thursday night into Friday morning, I guess you could say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that ritual, that was the state clamping down on the Camberley.
Right.
Right, which had all these subversive, satirical, revolutionary elements, as well as cultural retention elements and stuff. And it was paid for with blood.
Right. Right? Yes. People died for this.
People died for this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know? And actually, I for me and for a couple of us, we say that that is actually the real beginning of the new Trinidad and Tobago.
Mm.
Right? Later on that same decade, the Jose riots happened.
Right.
And these were the same thing. Masquerade traditions, mm-hmm. indigenous masquerade traditions and those kinds of things being defended by people with blood.
Yeah.
Hindu and Indian and black all joined together for the Hussein riots and stuff. Mm-hmm. So the thing is that for the first time in the new Trinidad, so the old Trinidad is the ancestral Amerindian Trinidad, 7,000 years old plus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This new Trinidad, we're risking for identity. We're ready to risk blood for this new identity.
Yes.
And that's a significant phenomenon. Every single year since then, the forces of the state, the forces of the private sector and stuff, have sided with the Mardi Gras in some way, form or fashion, and have continually neutered the Camberley.
But a point of clarification. Hold for me. I want a point of clarification, and that is now the Mardi Gras that the French you find in post-colonial French spaces, including New Orleans and of course you have in the Caribbean you had Guadeloupe, Martinique, these kinds of places, and I imagine Grenada would have had that as well. Yeah. But that is not, isn't that an African tradition or an African celebration that has since been painted over?
That myth that it's the carnival is somehow French derived and whatever. Mm-hmm. There are 300 Trinidad style. There's one Venice carnival, one New Orleans carnival, one Brazil carnival. There's 300 plus Trinidad style carnivals all over the planet.
Right.
And those are in all types of, they're English, Dutch, islands. They're all kinds of, they're all over the place. It doesn't matter. These are African retentions here. African masquerade retentions that hook on and grab on to other masquerade retentions and that kind of stuff that exists from other people.
Right. Okay.
And profit from it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it be French, English, Dutch, Amerindian, East Indian, Hindu, Muslim, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
The African masquerade traditions and song traditions and that kind of stuff latch onto it so that it could propel itself into survival and into resistance modes.
Right.
So that's what has happened.
That's what that is. So come back to today. So now we have this dueling.
The NCC and all of these groups, which are supposed to be indigenous groups, supposed to be working in our interests, have continually made decisions that have neutered the Camberley aspects of the thing, whether it be the pan, the traditional masquerade, all of those different kinds of things.
Why is that?
So right now, since the 80s, since Thatcherism, and I could probably go into more details, since Reagan and Thatcher and the what that they did to the economies of the developed world and that kind of stuff, the Camberley has been collapsing. And the Mardi Gras has been in huge ascension.
Mm-hmm.
It's been resourced to the tune of millions and hundreds of millions of dollars.
So this is an issue of where the money is going.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, and it's also part from that, we are looking at the Mardi Grasification of the economy as well.
say a little bit more on that, because I want to change gears, but tell me a little bit more about the Mardi Grafication of the economy.
In the sense that right now on the planet, we are everybody's moving towards feudalism, right? Mm-hmm. The global move of global capital is towards feudal economies. 1%, mm-hmm. 1% own everything, and everybody else are serfs and working for the man or unemployed or mm-hmm. under the gun, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so that is, you know, like, the rich get richer and the poor get nothing.
So if I could could kind of wrap that in a bundle, what it sounds like you're saying, and if I could understand it, and we're going to a break shortly, is that we have a situation where capital has gone towards sort of this commercialization, and that feudal kind of system where a small percentage of the population own the commanding heights, if you want, of the economy, and the rest of us work for them, kind of a thing. And so that is in our carnival, pretty much, is what
we
are saying.
The carnival is reflecting that.
It is reflecting
that. The carnival was ahead of that in a number of different ways. Mm. It was happening in the carnival long before it was probably happening
in other species.
And I was speaking to a PS of a ministry and a couple of businessmen in a industry garden recently, and I was telling them about, you know, that not many people in the carnival, like city bands and that kind of stuff, actually make money. And it's only about the less than probably about 10 or so bands from medium to large that actually make money.
Mm-hmm.
That people have historically been losing hundreds of thousands of dollars and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to tell them the reason why and that kind of stuff. But they were quick to jump off feeling that, you know, it's almost as if they're saying black people can't manage money.
No, well, that we know that's not true.
why it is that they can't make money and whatever.
Yeah,
but the thing is, deep sigh. As I said, there are 300 Trinidad-style carnivals all over the world. They're worth $15 billion annually. The two largest street festivals in the Western world are Trinidad-style carnivals with 4 million people on their streets at their height, Notting Hill and London and Brooklyn Labor Day.
Right.
That economy is the most successful export that Trinidad and Tobago it produces.
Right.
That was created by working class black and brown people.
All right. So here, what
the price of
finish that.
And the thing is that so now you're saying after they have created all of this and that kind of stuff, you're now saying, well, why they can't make money? They created a $15 billion
industry,
market economy for you.
Yeah.
Your job was to create the enablers and to pay them back with the enablers and the all the industrial infrastructure and those kinds of things. You didn't do that. And so now the people who are now profiting from all that work that was done by working class black and brown people are elites.
We have to go to a
with
break.
The creation of those things.
Yeah, so that is important. We go into a break. When we come back, we have some listeners chiming in. And I want to take us to this place of discussing, well, what are some societal parallels that we're seeing? I think that feudalization of the economy, I don't know if I use the right word, is a good jumping off place for that. We'll be right back.
Your good health can't wait. At RD Good Health Medical Center, get advanced CT scans starting at just $1,000 and coronary angiograms for only $5,000. Visit them at 34B Southern Main Road, Montrose, Chaguanas, or call 233-3730 or WhatsApp 725-GOOD today.
Power up your Saturdays with Carrie V's electrifying energy on Speak Your Mind Saturdays. Here, you're not just tuning in. You're transforming the show into a vibrant tapestry of opinions, laughter, and spirited debates. Get set for a day packed with the fun, the burning issues, and Carrie V's infectious personality. Join the fun. Fuel the conversation. Speak Your Mind. Saturdays with Carrie V on Freedom 106.5 FM.
This Thursday, Tribe brings you the night that sets the entire season ablaze. Welcome to Tribe Ignite. Drinks inclusive.
Are you ready?
On Carnival Thursday, February 12th at the Paisley Crawford Stadium Training Field from 9 p.m. Tribe Ignite. Are you ready for the King of Soca, Michelle Montano, and the Mob Movement? Ignite. Prepare for Kiss the Band.
She tell me rum and Coca-Cola.
Camtasia, Full Blown, Lyrical, and more surprises. Tickets available at An Island E-Ticket. Ignite sponsors, Karen, Visa, White Oak, Digicel, Coca-Cola, and Stamina Energy Drink. Tribe, the ultimate carnival experience. Carnival Thursday.
Tune in to Betterments with Host Space. Monday through Thursday, 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. for a program that educates and is solution-based. Space tackles the issues that matter to you, providing a platform to speak your mind and find solutions. That's Betterments with Space, with a focus on education and resolution. This is all about making things better for you. You can reach us via phone and WhatsApp to share your thoughts and find solutions to the issues that matter to you. So if you want to make a difference and have your voice heard, tune into Freedom 106.5 FM and join us for Betterments with Base Monday through Thursday from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. Better for you. Only on Freedom 106.5 FM, where we believe that your voice matters.
Folks, this is Richard Solomon on the Inside Hub, Wednesday evening, 6 to 7 p.m. And we're discussing Carnaval, Cambole, and the Culture Vultures. We have two guests in with us, but before we go back to the guests, someone on WhatsApp writes to us, a listener from Diego Martin writes, as discussed, given where Carnival has arrived today, how do we capture younger participants, many of whom only know bikini and beads, and help them appreciate what is truly Carnaval, as well as was mentioned? If we accept that many have little understanding of its deeper meaning and traditions, then we must ask, where do we as a country go from here? These people will remain on this path for the next 10 to 15 years, and what we do now will shape the future of Carnival itself. And that is very true. We took the break at the point where we were talking about the feudalization, I think is what our guest said, feudalization of the economy and of the Carnival. And I wanted to segue to this issue of what are some of the parallels we are seeing in our society. You know, because we now have this very performative, I want to say almost soulless thing. And I want to give a story here. I heard Dr. Pearl Antu Springer make the point on a video that when Winston Gypsy Peters was the minister, he had tried to prevent this whole importation of the mass in favor of having the mass created here. And in her words, they run him out of the place because, what do you mean? Now, of course, as a business person myself, I understand what that means. I mean, if we could produce this thing in mass halfway around the world, cheaper at a percentage of what it would cost here, and with no soul, but lots of beads, bikinis, and what have you, then so be it. My profit margin probably looks a lot healthier. I am making that assumption, and I assume profit is what's driving this. But then the question is, what are some of the parallels in the economy, in the society, not the economy necessarily, but the wider society of, in my words, sort of selling and saying, hey, commercialize this thing because money is where it's at and we need to make money and in the best and most way, you know? Anika, you have any thoughts on that before we go back to Victor?
Well, one of the things I would say to that is there is an opportunity to create a carnival economy here,
mm-hmm,
that is based on the craftsmanship.
Right.
So, and I would want to share an experience that I have had,
okay,
through the same Minister Gypsy Peters that you spoke about a little while ago. 10 years ago, actually, in 2015. Well, 2015, yes.
Mm-hmm.
The Export Centers, TTE, had a 6-month intensive carnival craft course, of which I was a participant.
Okay.
And we did carnival craft learning, wire bending, featherwork, carnival design. And we did these things with the late Stephen Derrick and with Narcinio Gomez.
Right.
There were a group of 30 students, Export Centers, and the then minister, Winston Peters, supported it.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a graduation ceremony. The whole idea was, this was a pilot project, the intent of which was to continue this program to build a cadre of skilled carnival workers so that we can actually start producing the mass here. So there, mm-hmm, would be no need to import costumes from China.
Right.
And the graduation, we designed costumes, we built the costumes, and the graduation was held at Hyatt, and every major band leader was invited, and not one of them turned up.
Say that again?
Every major band leader was invited to this graduation. This graduation was held in August, late August of 2015. Not one major band leader.
Well, that's a loud message. That's a loud message.
It was, and it was to me on that day.
Yeah.
I remember Mr. Derek being very disappointed, and a lot of people were disappointed because the work that we produced was, I mean, and I'm tooting my own horn, it was fantastic.
Fine. Yeah.
And that, and the thing is, the sad thing is that that program never happened again. So there are 30 people out there who have gone on to do different things, but here I am thinking that it could have been 30. I mean, this is 10 years ago. So 30 by 10 is 300 people. 300 people who would have developed skills that could be used to create a carnival industry.
Yeah.
And its own economy that could be a year-round thing. We could be exporting those skills to the very carnivals that Ruba Dirie referred to.
Do we know why the band leaders didn't show up?
I have no clue. We never... All I know is that invitations were sent out, and none of them turned up.
I mean,
not one.
If we were to interpret that, it would suggest, of course, that they are not particularly interested. And, of course,
exactly.
if we would then triangulate the fact that these large bands don't produce their mass here. It's imported from other lands. If you put those two together, then for me, what that comes to is a commercial reality. You know, it's a commercial reality. Where else have we done this in this society, though, where we've sort of sold and said, look, you know, who we are and what we are is not as important as either what we are bringing from another place or what is more cost advantageous.
I want to
go ahead. Yeah,
I want to wrap what she has just said with your question about the young people and the larger question about the economy and those imbalances and that kind of stuff. In this way, the state and private sector have roles to play in a civilization, right? The people did their job.
Mm-hmm.
They created this festival, which earns $1.3 to $1.7 billion in Forex for this country every single year.
Mm-hmm.
They are major corporations, local corporations that earn 55 to 65% of their income during the carnival period.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Hundreds of millions of dollars into their coffers. And as I said, there are 300 Trinidad-style carnivals all over the planet with $15 billion annually. That's the people's job. The job of the private sector and the job of the state is to create enabling environments.
Mm-hmm.
And the enabling environments are legislation, policy, fiscal enablers, and institutions. Now, the creative industries are the second largest industries on planet Earth. They're worth $3.14 trillion every single year. For the last 28 years, they have been the growth economy on planet Earth. They have outstripped extractive industries and manufacturing industries.
Right.
Right? That we are the gateway to these service industries and the tech industries and stuff as the creative economies and stuff, right? The creative industries have been minting billionaires and millionaires right through this period here. We have not been able to enter into that space and profit from that 28 years because we have failed to create the enabling environment for that industry and for the class of people who create.
Right.
And so I'm talking about things like an arts council. These are basic enablers that's supposed to be in place.
All right. What else?
Arts Council with transparent seasonal grant funding for all the different arts and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Local content quotas for broadcast industries, 50%. The creation of a proper museum complex with national, proper national museum, proper national gallery, carnival and steel band museums, mm-hmm. all the different kinds of things, halls right. of fame, all those mm-hmm. things. Mm-hmm. Now, mm-hmm. all of these things, when we have spent Trinidad and Tobago in the last 2.5 decades over $1 trillion in public money.
Right.
Yeah, what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
$1 trillion in public money. This is 1.5 to 1.7 million people. We should not even have a middle class.
Right.
What happened to all that money?
Mm-hmm.
That money should have been reinvested into the kinds of things that I'm talking about, which are the things that perpetuate civilization.
Yeah.
So all them young people who don't know about, they should have been all the legacy of Trinidad and Tobago, the 200 plus world records, the hundreds of world firsts, the Grammys, Emmys, Oscars, Tony Awards, Nobel Prizes, Bollywood Oscars that we have won as a people, all the carnivals, all the heroes and all those kinds of things. None of that legacy is present in any space in the landscape.
We have a call. We have a call. Caller, you there, caller?
Yes, good evening to the panel there.
Good evening, sir. Go ahead quickly.
Yes, calling from Durbasa, Jason Pinal. I'm listening to the passion there of our friend Rubaderi. Rubaderi, your formula is too complex for anybody to implement, so it's not going to be implemented. You're pointing to something that is now residing in other lands. They were inspired by us, helped by us, and they built it, and it's in their land now. And they don't have to deal with us anymore. They are now a separate entity. Notting Hill and Caribana and whatever else exists. And, you know, you would know about these things. But what obligates them to have anything at all to do with us?
Yeah, but we're not just talking, Mr. Pinal. Let me interject. Hold on, Mr. Pinal. Hold on a second. Let me say a couple things. One, complexity is not our problem. We understand complexity. We built our oil and gas industry down in the southern part of the country.
Exactly.
We understand complexity when we want to understand it. So I reject that out of hand.
So we built an enabling environment for the oil and gas.
Correct.
We didn't just say we want our oil and gas industry and just sit down there and
yes.
put it in the ground.
Exactly.
And then say entrepreneurs have to get it.
In addition.
Mm-hmm.
Hundreds
of millions of dollars on point leases. We passed laws. We signed treaties. We did the diplomacy. We did all the different kinds of rebates and stuff for companies, taxation, everything. The full works mm-hmm. to be able to reap that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so
that's exactly what you have to do with the creative industry.
And that's why I reject this. I don't think this sits in the place of our difficulty with grasping and wrapping our minds around complexity at all. I don't think that is anything to do with it. And I'll add, this whole issue of, okay, other places have their things. This Trinidad and Tobago remains the mecca. And as far as I am aware, and I said at the start of this program, I am not someone who is deeply involved in the carnival. No, but I'm an observer. And as far as I can tell, and I want to hear both your takes on this, this is still a lifeline for carnivals all over the world. We are the umbilical cord that feeds carnivals all over the world. Is that not so?
They all come here. Every year, there's probably one or two new carnivals that have been created, and they still come to us, despite all our incompetence.
Right.
Yeah. To help them set up those carnivals. All
right.
over mm-hmm. West Africa, all over Africa right now. Africa mm-hmm. is the growth economy for carnivals right now. Nearly every single year, there are about two new carnivals popping up in Africa.
Okay. So this thing about, well, they have their own thing and they don't need us anymore and so on, that falls flat.
But it's not always going to be so.
Right. So that brings us, and I want to remind the listeners, we want to hear your phone call, 625-2257, 627-3223, and on WhatsApp, 306-1065. But that brings us to the question, what should we do now? What must we do now? Because we are saying that we have this rich history. We've had this duality of the carnival. Part of it is a soul thing, but that is dying. And what is great, more and more taking its place, is this business of commercialization. So that's where we want to go next when we come back from the break. We want to come back and talk about what must we do now to try and see if we could rescue this thing and give it some resuscitation.
The place to be this Carnival Tuesday is the Socadrome. Welcome to Socadrome Village 2026. Rhythms of the Republic. The biggest bands cross the biggest stage. The biggest names in entertainment and the largest artisan market with food and drinks on sale all day. It's simply the best place to be. Entry is free. Gates open 8 a.m. Show starts 9 a.m. Powered by the Ministry of Culture and Community Development, the National Carnival Commission, Carib and Homeland Furnishings. Guardian Media is the official media partner. Come home to the Socadrome.
Power up your Saturdays with Carrie V's electrifying energy on Speak Your Mind Saturdays. Here, you're not just tuning in. You're transforming the show into a vibrant tapestry of opinions, laughter, and spirited debates. Get set for a day packed with the fun, the burning issues, and Carrie V's infectious personality. Join the fun. Fuel the conversation. Speak Your Mind. Saturdays with Carrie V on Freedom 106.5 FM. Every weekday morning, Tusker Martinez brings you the stories that matter to you. On The Human Impact, tackling the issues of the day, exploring health and wellness that hits home, diving into powerful features, bold opinions, and a book club that keeps you thinking. It's thoughtful, it's fearless, and it's yours. Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 12 noon on Freedom 106.5 FM.
Speak your mind, Trinidad and Tobago, and let's make it count. The Human Impact, only on Freedom 106.5 FM.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're on the Inside Hub, and this is Richard Solomon. We're here every Wednesday. We are here every Wednesday, 6 to 7. It sounds like we have a caller. Immediately, caller, you there?
Hello, good evening.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, as usual, I like your discussion.
Thank you.
I don't want to slip into the keyword, right? However, this is fact, right?
Which word?
There was a center proposed to be built at the Queen's Park, Savannah.
Okay.
And it was heavily criticized.
Right.
And I guess this is the problem that we're facing right now. Is that all the cultures and what we speak right now is literally bastardized in terms of there isn't a centralized home.
Mm-hmm.
I think the leader at the time that had this vision to put this there, and it was senselessly criticized in my view, that is why we scatter about the place right now. So it was huge. It was in the rightest place, the way the ambience and everything is welcome up there. And it would have been a nice place to visit. And many of the, we could have stored up, the brother pointed out when he encapsulated it a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I like how he sung with it. And so what, moving forward, home for all of what we're speaking about in terms of if it not to just be a seasonal thing and it could be a EMA tourist attraction.
Right.
There's a centralized movement, and I think we need to revisit that huge building that they were going to put, which would have housed and capitalized on all the ideas. Even some of the first could have been held there.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, caller.
I appreciate
your coming in. Thank you so much. You know, when I listen to the callers and as we're discussing this, and I'm going to back to the guests in a short while, I wonder what is driving this. It has to be more than just commercialization. There's something about how we see ourselves. And I wonder, I mean, I haven't looked at the budgets for supporting the various parts of the carnival this year in comparison to previous years, maybe in comparison to the last 10. I haven't looked at them, but I wonder if we are seeing a difference in terms of state support. Because you see these things, I mean, as Robert Deary said, all the pieces have a role, you know, and I wonder if this really is about, hey, we don't really like this part of ourselves, which is not new. Which is not new, because let us not forget that historically, this, what I call the soul of the carnival, the real carnival, not this sanitized version that that the French would have brought, and of course they didn't make it up themselves. It sort of evolved over the years. The Greeks got it from the people in Kemet, what we call Egypt now. Of course, that's a different space. It's the same space, but different people now. But they got it, and then they overlaid the Christianity and all the rest, so it became a pre-Lenten thing and so on. Fine. But that was a sanitized version of what we have, what the people created, maybe that's the way to say it, what the people created. The people created what became Carnival out of need, out of resistance, out of claiming a place in the space, in the street, out of pushing back and speaking truth, and in some cases singing truth and shouting truth to power. But we've lost that, or we're losing that, and there's very little shards remaining, you know? And so the question that we have to answer here, and I want to hear from Ruba Diri and from Anika on this, what do we have to do? What do we have to do to rescue this thing and to resuscitate it? Is that even possible? Either one of you can go first.
I'll give way to Ruba Diri.
All right. Are you there, my brother? Turn on your microphone. You may have muted yourself inadvertently. All right. Anika, go ahead now.
Okay. Whether or not it can be rescued is something that I myself grapple with.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, I am not sure if it can be, but there's a theory, or I would say suggestion that I have,
mm-hmm.
That I've mulled over for quite a while, and I actually saw that there is a group that is doing it.
Okay.
Which is, you know, people among themselves forming small clusters of community, making their own masks and putting it out there on the road.
I heard,
totally independent,
right, of the
what exit.
Right. I heard about this one. I don't know where I came across it. It was a little ad that said, mm-hmm. this band, you wear whatever you want, you pay what you can. So it was wear, right, what you want, pay what you can. They will have a music truck and, I don't know, probably a wee truck and those kinds of things, because you need those pieces. But you pay, mm-hmm. what you can, you wear what you want, and you bring your drinks, and we make a band and we go down the road.
Yeah, and I personally think that is one of the ways, mm-hmm. and it is an act of resistance.
It is.
It is a political statement.
Yes.
That says we reject what we are seeing. And I think if people are brave enough, if people are willing enough, that can mushroom into a movement even outside of Port of Spain, because the caller just now spoke to the Carnival Center. And I have my opinions about that, in terms of that was a project that had very little local input. That was foisted upon us, and that was part of the criticism. That was a, mm-hmm. Chinese government arrangement, and it was foisted, and that caused a lot of uproar. My thing is that there are regional carnivals as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just focused on Port of Spain. Carnival, right, is a national festival.
Right.
So to focus Carnival on Port of Spain alone, yes, Port of Spain is the Mecca. Yes, Port of Spain has the largest bands and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there is something to be said about not only having the nexus of Carnival in Port of Spain, but creating those groups even in the regional carnival, so that, you know, it actually reaches community,
right,
in a ground level way. That same song, I mean, I was thinking about it before you actually played it, and I smiled while the song was being played, because that song is the loudest statement within, yeah, recent years.
It is.
Of the very same thing that has even happened with FET versus Calypso tent culture.
Mm-hmm.
Calypso tents used to be on par with FETs.
Yeah.
One has now dominated, and the FET culture has now morphed into something that is also commercial and all-inclusive.
No, you know, something that has been, as my mother would say, beating my mind since we've been having this conversation, and I've asked Ruba Diri to try and get back into the conversation.
Yeah, I'm here.
You're here. Okay, perfect. Something that has been beating my mind is this. But people have to make money. This thing has to be profitable, because people have to work and they have to be paid. And if I am going to employ capital to do something, it needs to turn some kind of a profit. Although we can say, well, the state must support. So yes, how do we balance these things, eh? Yeah, we're not hearing you, Ruba Diri.
Yeah, okay.
Go ahead now, yes.
Yes. So I'll try and wrap up a whole set of things that just happened there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm agreeing with my co-host in terms of cooperatives.
Right.
not just in the carnival, but right across the creative industry, as things are getting harder in terms of money and patronage and that kind of stuff from corporate and from public sector and from and all those different kinds of things. The way forward, and it's not just happening here, it's happening especially here because we were always bad, is artists need to come together in collaborations.
Mm-hmm.
Like they say, filmmakers, directors, producers, cameramen, editors, song, have to form tight cooperatives. They need to go to Cipriani Labor College, you know, and those kinds of spaces, the cooperative union and committee, and find out how these things work. They have to work on their protocols and their relationships and stuff. But the only way, they have to treat it like a susu.
Mm-hmm.
I work on your project, we work on next one project, and then you all work on my project and that kind of stuff. And it's going to be one of the only ways. This is what's happening in the States, in England, in Africa, all over Europe and stuff right now.
Mm.
As Hollywood is collapsing, as a number of other the large models are collapsing and those kinds of things, those are the kinds of things that are coming together, those small cooperatives, and it has to happen in Carnival. And I'm going to encourage that and be encouraging that with artists.
Yeah.
As regards the Carnival Center,
mm-hmm.
I and my group are the ones who stopped that thing from being built.
Okay.
Because, yes, we stopped $5 billion worth of those types of buildings being built. And because they were done, first of all, those were our ideas. Those mm-hmm. are ideas that came from stakeholders, and those kinds of things were taken. And then the entire industry was shut out from the
process,
consultations and the processes and stuff.
Okay.
And the things that were going to be foisted on us could have destroyed the very things that they said they were going to house.
Mm.
Right? You talk about 720 community centers and all kind of madness and that kind of stuff. It's money spending like rain.
Right.
You know, no idea how you're going to staff it, build it, where different things are supposed to operate in it. No idea of how the parade works. No idea of how vending works. No idea of any of those things. And so they could not answer one question from a list of about 30 something.
Mm-hmm.
Not one was factored into this stuff. And so it had to be, if that was built, it would have destroyed us. But the thing is, we do need something, and it does need the centralized outposts, like what my co-host was saying. It does need those things that recognizes all these different poles, because right now, as the village carnivals is what is saving the Cambole Carnival.
Right.
All the traditional masqueries that have survived are the ones that have been surviving in Cuba, in San Fernando,
smaller areas, in all these places.
You know, so those are the ones that are keeping, the ones that have been in Port of Spain and environments have been decimated by the Mardi Gras.
Right.
So those are two things. But the big thing I have to say is that when we talk about the carnival, there has to be a sense of urgency. The carnival is dying and is collapsing. It's not doing so for certain people, but that what they're doing is not really carnival in one sense, and I'll tell you how. I mean, we're talking about it being commercial. It's not really commercial in a sense, but more like it being secular.
Secular.
Meaning that the spirit is not there with those people. They don't mm-hmm. understand what it is.
So they're just having a party in the street. Exactly. And for them, that is, okay.
Europe had sacred carnivals all over Europe, just like ours and that kind of stuff. And they all died.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one of them died. How did they die? The god in the center of them died. The belief in them, they became secular things,
right,
just like what is happening here. If you reduce the carnival to just a party,
mm-hmm.
then all that is necessary to happen is for somebody to emerge with a better party.
A better party.
At that same time.
Yeah.
And that's the end of you.
Mm-hmm. Right? Because there's nothing at the core of it, really.
If that's all that it is, all is going to, you know, so it's, and that's not what it is. But the people who have that inside their belly are not the Mardi Gras people.
Yeah.
They don't have that spirit in their belly. So
to 10 seconds, I want to give Anika a little chance to come in to say a few words.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The marginalization of the black and brown working class people that were at the heart of the creation of the carnival as we knew it, that is what has spelled the death knell for the creative part of the carnival. And that, it used to take you 2 hours to get from Independence Square to Queen Street.
Mm-hmm.
That's one block.
Yeah.
in 25 years ago, 30 years ago in the carnival, because there's so many people. So many people you could not get from there.
You couldn't move.
There's nobody in downtown Portisby. There's nobody in all the way all up to the Savannah, all the way into Woodbrook, and separate certain points and times on Arabic.
All right, so we're gonna
all
give
into South in gym.
Yeah, let's give Anika a chance. It's gonna be your closing thoughts, Anika.
I would like to say that I hope that this discussion and the people who hear it, they get a sense of where we are now and the possibility of it being rescued, if it can happen, that the heart and soul of what Carnival is could be recaptured.
Mm-hmm. 30 seconds.
It involves effort and bravery, and I want to say I hope that we have that.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Rubidiri Victor and Anika Dankler, I got it right. I want to thank you for joining me and joining us on this Insight Hub 106.5. This is certainly not enough for this discussion. There's a lot more that we can talk about, but I'll say what I tend to say to these kinds of things. Nobody's doing this to us. We are doing it to ourselves. And there's a grand world out there that has its own agenda. But in this space, we could decide how we operate. In this space, we could decide how we consult with each other and how we build the necessary structures and spaces to preserve what is uniquely ours. This is not to the exclusion of anyone. People who want to have their Mardi Gras could do that, but if we allow that to now sweep over, then what we will end up with is probably nothing. Or somebody else having a better party. All right, we're wrapping up here, folks.
You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5.